You're listening to The Profile.
Welcome to The Profile podcast. God calls us to use our influence to share his love and goodness. For some, this is in leadership. I'm Andy Peck, and for the past 19 years, I've been interviewing Christians to find out how to lead better. Taking the initiative isn't always easy, so I hope you'll benefit from this latest conversation. The Profile podcast is brought to you by Premier Christianity magazine. Subscribe today and get full online access and the print magazine every month at premierchristianity.com.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck.
Hi, this is Andy Peck, the host of The Leadership Show. Every now and again, we like to dip into The Leadership Show archives. And this week, we'll be looking back to October 2021 and a show I recorded with the Reverend Dave Burke about mental health. The challenges of COVID come up in the conversation, of course, and the courses mentioned at the end will not be relevant. But I'm glad to say the interviewee still runs courses in mental health if you wish to get in touch. Hope you enjoy the show. The story is told of a man enjoying a lie-in on a Sunday morning. His wife calls him from downstairs. "Darling, it's time to get up. You'll be late for church." "I'm not going," he calls back. "Really?" she said. "No, I'm not going." "You need to go," calls the wife. "I'm not going." "Well, give me three reasons why I should go to church this morning," said the husband, clearly irritated. "Well, for a start, there's some lovely people there. Secondly, it will be good to connect with God. And the third is that you're the vicar and you're down to give the sermon." Well, hopefully you have a smile on your face as you hear the story. But more seriously, some Christians in leadership really do feel like they need to stay in bed on a Sunday. The Church Times recently reported from a study by St. Luke's Healthcare for the Clergy, which suggested that stress, anxiety, and more serious mental health issues accounted for about one third of all clerical sickness. So I'm delighted that Dave Burke has been willing to join me on the Leadership Show today. Dave has served in pastoral ministry for many years, including as senior pastor of Bethany City Church in Sunderland. He now runs the Mental Health First Aid training course, which he began in his local church, but has now spread throughout the country, both online and in person. He's often asked to work with church leaders keen to understand their own mental health and equip others also. So great to have you on the show, Dave.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And how did the interest in all this come about?
Well, I think it's like a lot of people, there are multiple threads, but I think the question arose for me a long time ago in 1984. I was working in a Baptist church in Bournemouth. I went to the back of the church one dark winter afternoon, all the doors locked, only me in the building. And at the back of the church, in a very, very dark corridor, there was a woman dressed in white. And she looked at me and said, "God is very angry with you, Dave Burke." And my blood froze, because at least there's a split second when you think, crumbs. I can think of half a dozen reasons why God would be mad at me, and this person might be an angel. But then I recognized her. She's a lady I visited in hospital a couple of days before, very ill with a chest infection. And she was experiencing psychotic symptoms, psychosis, a distortion of reality in her mind. And she was delusional. And that was the first time I'd come across that. And I began to ask the question, why is that happening? Do some reading research and ask people who knew better. But more recently, our church, we moved into a building right in the centre of Sunderland, set up a food bank and a community lunch. And before very long, it was as though we were running a crisis centre, and we were meeting lots of people with psychological needs we didn't really understand very well. And that was what set me on a journey, really, to try to equip myself and equip other people in pastoral ministry and churches generally in supporting people with mental health problems really well, doing the job really well.
Perhaps we could start by you explaining your view on mental health as a kind of topic. There's various approaches, of course, that professionals use to get people better. You know, there's talking therapy through to medication. I'm just wondering the angle that you're, the approach you're taking, how you navigate through the many kind of issues that people might have in their minds when they think of mental health.
Yeah, and there are loads of issues. I mean, you've mentioned talking therapies. Some counselling schools feel like religions and people get very passionate about them. And there's lots to argue about. And I guess, you know, we're talking to the Christian community, and Christian community is brilliant at arguing about stuff. You know, we got Bible verses for it, so they are. And it can get very heated. But I think broadly, my approach is very relaxed to all that. I think firstly, just as a general thing, that there's no health without mental health. That if you're struggling with your mental health for one reason or another, or your emotional health for one reason or another, you're going to experience ill health, maybe even on a physical level, because you're not that well internally. And so mental health is a vital part of our overall health. And if we're going to be healthy generally, we need to address our mental health. There's a lot of mumbo jumbo around, and I think that's in the secular world as well as in the Christian world. There's lots and lots of things in the wellness industry that are worth avoiding. You know, if you Google depression or you Google mental health, you'll get an avalanche of stuff. You don't know what the good stuff is, what's the bad stuff. And there's various brands of snake oil within the churches as well that we need to be careful of. So for me, you know, what's my take on this? My take on this is I want to see stuff which is evidence-based. It's not just something people have pulled out of the air, or, you know, I saw a great website, I saw a great video. It's evidence-based. It actually does help people. It bears good fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm looking for stuff as well that we can apply in the churches and more widely to support people who sometimes are struggling terribly with their mental health. I suppose as well, I would say, mental ill health is no different from any other kind of ill health. There are different features to it, but it's just because somebody is not well with their mental health does not mean automatically there's a spiritual problem, any more than if somebody had a rash, you would say, oh, that's automatically a spiritual problem. So we need to hold back from jump to conclusions, stick with the evidence, stick with good stuff that does good to people.
So talk me through the mental health first aid kit. I appreciate, you know, we've only got 20 minutes, but what are the kind of the key themes that you look at?
I would say mental health first aid is a thing which has been around in Britain since about 2004. Okay. And the term was coined by two Australian, a psychologist and a mental health nurse who were seeking to teach others about mental health first aid, about supporting people with mental health. So mental health first aid is a branded product, if you want to call it that. And people can do a half day, a one day or a 2 day course, which equips people to support others with their mental health. And it does it by, first of all, teaching you some good evidence-based stuff using the same language that medics use, so that we're in partnership with the medical profession. They're not our competitors. It gives us good skills, listening skills and other skills to be able to support others. And really importantly, it helps us to look after our own mental health as well. So I did a mental health first aid course a few years ago when I was looking around in this subject and thought, wow, that's a great way to equip churches. So I trained as an instructor, and now I'm retired from full-time Christian ministry. I still serve in my church. But my main thing now is doing training with Christian and other organizations around mental health first aid.
So any of the areas, Dave, particularly of value to Christians in leadership, you would say?
Yeah, I think there are loads, absolutely loads. It's so hard to know where to begin with this, but I suppose I'll begin with when I started out in Christian ministry, the thing that most bothered me was that I'd been working in a laboratory and I knew what needed to be done in a week. And at the end of the week, I had a book full of results from experiments I'd done. You don't get that with Christian ministry. And so you can become quite driven. You can become quite desperate to show that you're valuable, that you matter. And that can be, pathological is the technical word. It can make you ill. The other thing is that there's still a lot of perfectionism around in churches. And here's a tip. Chatting with somebody about an anxiety problem or chatting with somebody who's very low, slip into the conversation this question. You don't happen by any chance to be a bit of a perfectionist, do you? 9 times out of 10, the answer is, oh, yes. Yes, I am. people are very driven. It's not just in Christian ministry, but this idea of excellence, which was a word that was in a lot of Christian conferences a few years back, has embedded itself and it makes us ill. The other thing I think which affects us is the fact that we try and minister to others. And often we do that without paying attention to our own mental health. I was sitting in a pub, what year is it now? 2001. This must have been about 10 years ago. Sitting in a pub with a friend of mine whose dad was dying of cancer. And I was there to support him. But 5 minutes into the conversation, I cracked up. I was sobbing like a baby because my sister was dying of cancer. I shouldn't have been in the room. But I'm the pastor. I'm Superman. I can cope. And I couldn't. So just getting our heads around this, that we can't ever be perfect. Good enough is good enough. We need to look after ourselves. Spurgeon, in one of his sermons, don't know which one, talks about the harvester stopping to sharpen his scythe, and then he sweeps it through the corn half a dozen times, and he stops again to sharpen his scythe. And Spurgeon asks the question, is he wasting his time every time he stops? No, he's not. He's sharpening the tool he needs most to do the job he's been called to do. And Christian workers, leaders, really need to address that. We need to be good at looking after ourselves.
Well, a mention of Spurgeon links me very quickly to the next question, Dave, because we know that Spurgeon suffered, we believe, some form of depressive illness, it would seem, at least anecdotally. Yeah. John Ortberg co-wrote a book, Coping with Depression, and then the subtitle was interesting, The Common Cold of the Emotional Life. I don't know if you resonate with that, but it was a shocking title to me because it suggested to me that actually kind of depressive illness or depression or feeling low might be a bit more common than perhaps we think.
Yes. Yes, it is. Just pick up the Spurgeon thing. Spurgeon wrote a book on the Psalms called The Treasury of David. It's 3 volumes. It's Victorian writing. Man, it is a really hard to wade through, but it's full of gems. And some of his remarks on Psalm 88 are incredible because he talks about his own experience of depression in that. And he uses, I can't quote him exactly, but he says, do not dismiss those who appear to be nervous and hypochondriacal because although the disease is in the imagination, it is not imaginary. Right. It's a very powerful, very powerful moment. And he's talking about the experience of him and the Ezrahite in Psalm 88. And I think other old saints also had their struggles. I'm not sure that the similarities with the common cold and depression are that helpful. It's not a virus. You don't get depression with a virus. There are risk factors for depression, and you know, among them would be the environment you grew up in, your relationship with your family, relationship with your community, all kinds of things. And that feeds into, and your life circumstances now and life experiences now feed into that. Some people can say, that happened and I became depressed. Other people can say, I have no idea why I'm depressed. But it is very, very common. Probably 1 in 10 of the population will suffer from depression at some point in their lives. And so it's good to be aware of what depression is. At one end of the scale, it might just be that you've got feelings and something really difficult is happening. And you're trying to cope with those feelings. And a doctor wouldn't necessarily say that you're ill, but would say that you need support. You need emotional and loving support of the people around you. At the other end of the scale, you might have somebody who's so depressed, the symptoms are such that they can't live a normal life. And at that point, you need more than just the support of friends. You may need a kind of therapy. You might need talking therapy. You may need medication. You may need all sorts of help. And if a doctor says, look, I think you need a bit of extra help with this, it makes a lot of sense for a Christian who feels, well, you know, I should trust God to get me out of these problems. It makes a lot of sense for that Christian to say, yeah, you give me what help you can. Because Christian thinkers for centuries have talked about a thing called common grace, which is the stuff God gives everybody because he's good. And I think medication, cognitive behavioral therapy, counseling, the whole battery of things, those are part of God's common grace to us. And we should use them.
Yeah. Are there other things that you find when you're working with Christians in leadership that might be common, or is it very individual, the kind of things that Christians in leadership face?
I think right now the pressures are very great. And I don't know what the numbers are going to be eventually, but it wouldn't surprise me if people are more likely to develop an anxiety type of illness or an anxiety condition, more likely to develop the things that indicate that their mood is very, very low. I think the conditions we're working under at the moment are quite challenging. There's a lot of uncertainty about coming out of COVID, when that will happen, how that will happen, if we go back in. A lot of pastors I know are looking at their churches and thinking, is this operation going to function normally again? And then you've got the super pastors who are doing loads of things. Isn't it wonderful? And I feel, oh, crumbs, I'm not like that. I can't do that. And so you feel useless. There's loads of feelings swilling around. Look after yourself. Look after your own mental health. Look after your emotional health, your spiritual health, and those around you. And don't be pressurized into being something that you're not, or to being somebody that you're not, because God called you, not the you you wish you were.
Yeah. That's very, very helpful, Dave. In terms of, well, we're talking before the show about the way in which we sometimes read scripture almost as if it's kind of from the same voice, but actually you were talking about the way in which different writers in scripture share something really of their mental health, even as they're communicating.
Yes, I mean, a thing I like to sort of talk about when I get a chance is Psalm 23, which is this incredible song about feeling secure and whole and at peace, even though you walk through the shadow of death, even though your enemies are in the same room, eating in the same restaurant. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And there's this lovely contentment about Psalm 23, which is why we love it. David wrote Psalm 23, according to the Bible, and he also wrote Psalm 6, which is exactly the opposite. he's desperate. He's so desperate, he thinks God must be angry with him about something. He can't sleep. He's bursting into tears. He's terrified of his enemies. He keeps thinking about death. And I think that the person who wrote Psalm 6, David, might well actually have been suffering from a depressive illness. I'm not qualified to say that. But the thing is that Psalm 23 and Psalm 6, in a sense, are the high and low points of David's emotional life. And both of them are equally important. And I think personally, I think if you're preaching on Psalm 23, you should mention Psalm 6. Because if you give the impression, well, it's always like Psalm 23. If you've got faith, it's always like Psalm 23. If you do things right, it's always like Psalm 23. Well, in my life's not like Psalm 23, so I must be doing something wrong. It's all to do with me. I feel guilty now. If you bring in Psalm 6, it helps people to see that there's actually the Bible's picture of our emotional life is much richer. And the New Testament example, I think, which is really helpful, is Paul in Philippians. Paul is absolutely Psalm 23 in Philippians. That's his Psalm 23. He's in prison. He's going to go to trial. He doesn't know how it's going to go. It's 50-50. Will I die? Will I live? People in the churches are out on the streets making trouble for him. It's all there in chapter 1 of Philippians. And Paul says, you know, I don't know what to do to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, or to stay with you. There's this incredible ambivalence about death. And then you read 2 Corinthians, and something happened before Paul wrote 2 Corinthians. He doesn't tell us what it was, but he does tell us that he was afraid of death. To say that he's afraid of death is a very powerful word, exaporeo. We usually translate it despair in the New Testament translations. I despaired. That word's only used twice in the whole New Testament. The second time is two chapters later in 2 Corinthians, where Paul says, you know, we're knocked down, but we're not knocked out, and we don't despair. And I think an attentive listener, when I read out about it, said, hey, excuse me, Paul, you were in despair two chapters ago. And I think it's just indicative of the fact that you and I, Andy, know that if we die, we are safe. But there are times in our lives when we don't feel the truth of the things we know are true. Yeah. And that's when we get rattled. And Paul was in that situation before he wrote 2 Corinthians. And then in chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, he'd written a stinking letter to the Corinthian church. And he was desperate to find out if they were still his friends. So he goes to Troas. Troas is on the verge of revival. He says the door was up, hanging off its hinges. I couldn't stay there. I had to go. I had to go and find Titus, who'd tell me what was going on in Corinth. His anxiety about that really affected him. So Paul, the anxious apostle, hey, we don't preach about that, do we? But I think we should.
Well, just before we finish, Dave, some will be listening. They may be having in mind a pastoral visit next week, or maybe someone in their business or charity who's going through it. And they're kind of nervous because they're thinking, I'm not sure. Now, probably they need to come on your course. But I guess you'd want to say that there are some things that you can do as a layperson without being a specialist, but yes, also that you want to be discerning of where there might be further therapeutic or medical help needed.
Yeah, I would say be intelligently curious about that person, you know. So we say, how are you? I'm fine, thank you very much. No, how are you really? When people ask me that question, I lie to them because I don't want to tell them how I'm feeling. There's only a few people I'll tell how I'm actually feeling. But if somebody says to you, I was coming out of a leaders meeting a few years ago. Guy came up to me and said, Dave, are you all right? I said, yeah, I'm okay. Why'd you ask? He said, well, that wasn't like you. You got angry. What's going on? That specific question from somebody who'd seen me different, that was really helpful. So just ask some questions on the basis of what you've seen in that person's life. you know, you've been bursting into tears a bit recently. Are you leaving the meeting? Are you not turning up at church a lot? Are you, you know, those sorts of things. Can we help? How can I support you? Those kind of questions, which very often open up conversation better than how are you really? And then just listen. Just let that person talk. I don't know about you, but I have... my lungs are half full of air when I'm having a conversation because I want to jump in and say something. And the word I use for this is exhale. Empty your lungs. Don't say anything. Just listen. Maybe ask a question or two. Don't interrogate. Just ask a question or two. Let that person talk. And it might well be that there are avenues that would help and support that person. And it may well be something within the church. It may well be some secular help. There's loads of stuff around good quality material. Don't leave it at this. Let's see if we can get you the help, the support that you need. And if you don't know where to go, ask somebody reliable who does know where to go in your church or in your Christian circle. Shameless plug for that Mental Health First Aid course. If you do one of those, you'll know exactly where to go. But
yeah, I was going to ask you, you've got some coming up online and in person and also events as well coming up.
Yeah, I'm doing Mental Health First Aid courses all the time. I do a lot online, so anyone can pitch in. And I do face-to-face as well. And I'm hoping more of that will happen in the coming months. So if people want to know, just email me and I will keep you informed.
Thank you. And how should people email you?
The best thing to do is Bobby Shafto at iCloud.com. So BOBBY.SHAFTO, Bobby Shafto at iCloud.com.
Fabulous. Well, thank you so much, Dave, for all that you've shared.
That's been a pleasure.
It's just been a snapshot, I know, but wonderful. So thank you.
Great stuff. Thanks, Andy.
That was my conversation with Dave Burke, recorded in October 2021. Mental health will always be a relevant topic, of course. And if you need to chat with someone because the show has raised issues for you, you can, of course, call Lifeline on 0300 111 0101. That's 0300 111 0101. Call between Monday and Friday, 9 to 5:30 during the day. As always, there's archive versions of The Leadership Show. Go to Premier Plus, to the app or the website, type in The Leadership Show, and you'll find many hundreds of former conversations on various topics with people that you may have heard of or maybe you won't. So this is Andy Peck, thanking you for your company and looking forward very much to the next time. Bye for now.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck. To get in touch, email andy.peck@premier.org.uk.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.